So our second son, Ephraim, is almost 2.5, and he's been a good sleeper. Dominic, the first son, was not a good sleeper. He was a horrible sleeper. Still not a great sleeper when he's 5. But Ephraim, from like 4 months on, slept through the night. The bedtime routine is like lay him in the crib and say goodnight, and you're gone. It's great. It's the most beautiful thing ever. But he's almost too big for the crib. And we got it. We got a bunk bed for Dominic, so we're going to transition them into the same bedroom together. But I know that when we start that transition, it's going to mean some nights of not great sleep. And right now, it's just nights of great sleep. And it's, you know, I have that internal wish of, you know, like, what if he just stays small and can fit in that crib forever? We never have to transition. I never have to go through that, probably just a week, maybe even just like 2 days of bad sleep. But when you're used to good sleep, it's hard to be like, yes, I'm going to take some nights of bad sleep. Even though, you know, you have to get to that transition to realize what is to come, that he is going to keep on growing. He can already crawl out of it if he wants, but he doesn't. He just sits there in his crib and enjoys it. And it's like, I just want this to last. But it's not going to happen. And so, yeah, so I can have that. So I see it, the decision between, okay, he can stay in the crib forever, or I can have a hard week without sleep. But the choice really isn't about him. It's an internal one. It's that I am choosing between, do I want to sleep well or sleep moderately well for a few days and then well again? But that, in my mind, it's like that moderately well is really the worst sleep ever. I just can't imagine that. And I think about this with God's patience towards us. That sometimes when we think like God isn't there, God isn't acting, it's that God is only moderately acting towards us and isn't just giving us the mountaintop experience. When God's patience is continual towards the people he created, towards all of us. We see this especially in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the story of God's patience. God's patience towards Adam and Eve in creation. That they disobeyed him and God did not destroy them. God's patience towards Noah and the faithfulness towards Noah and his family. God's patience towards Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God's patience towards Joseph, who, and his brothers. Patience towards Joseph too, for being kind of snooty, he was. And then patience towards his brothers, who lied to their father and said they killed their brother, and then sold him to slavery, which is really bad. It's a really bad thing. But God was patient towards them. God's patience towards Moses, another rich little snot, who is ignoring God's will, and then like runs away at like the first moment of adversity in his life. He's like one time in his life where he doesn't get his way, and he just runs away in fear. And then God is still patient towards him, and God uses him. God's patience towards Israel during the time of the judges. God's patience towards the people when they cry out for a king. And the prophet Samuel's like, guys, you don't want a king. You've got the Lord. And they don't listen. And God is still patient to them. God's patience with David and all the crazy things David did. God's patience with Solomon and all the crazy things he did. God's patience with all the really bad kings of Israel and Judah. And there's a lot of them. And they do some bad stuff. God's patience during the exile to Babylon. God's patience in rebuilding the temple. And God's patience in sending John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, that we need to be prepared to receive our Lord. That God's patience in preparing him. I think about that too with the crib and with the bed and with this and my little family moment of not just, I shouldn't just avoid the issue of transitioning, but prepare them for this transition. I need to prepare them, and in so doing, prepare myself. Prepare myself for the ultimate transition of, as one of my friends once said, one time I'm going to pick my kids up and then put them down and never pick them up again. And that will help happen. And to prepare my heart's for that. And then use that in that memory of myself and think about the ways that God has been patient towards me in my life. How has God been patient towards you? What does the long patience of God look like in your life? The patience of God that is not immediate resolution of all the issues facing you, of all the things that you think God could fix, of all the times that you think it's just compounding over and over, and this happens, and this happens, and this happens, and you don't know why. Or with someone else in your life. Sometimes it's harder when it's the people close to you who are suffering. Sometimes it's so difficult when God is blessing you, but the people next to you are hurting, and they don't know why. And it's so glib to just point to, well, God will be faithful. We think about the friends of Job who sit around and talk to him. Well, you know, God is God, so what did you do? You know, and they don't give him a lot of helpful advice for his own suffering. It's a challenge in those times. But Job responded in peace. How have you responded? How have I responded? Peter says, do not overlook the obvious, friends. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. God isn't late with his promises. We measure lateness differently than God does. God is restraining God's self on account of us, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving us space and time to change. So what are we doing with that space and time to change? What are we doing as individuals? What are we doing as a church? What are we doing as a world? Are we taking the time God gives us to change? Are we taking the time to respond with peace to the patience of God and not resentment? And not resentment of the blessings of others, not resentment of the way our life has turned out, not resentment with the ways we do not see God working yet. Change is unsettling. Change is unsettling. Changing of sleep patterns is unsettling. The simplest change can be unsettling. But the wide road leads to destruction. Ephraim is growing up. He will not fit in that crib. And lying to myself does not change that fact. We should live today in light of what God is doing. What God will do on the day of the Lord, and what God has already done in the life of Jesus Christ. That is what Advent is really about. Living in the light of what is to come and what has already been. Holding those together. Preparing our hearts. Understanding God's patience towards us. Are we living under the light of the Star of Bethlehem?
Right here?
Or under some other star? Are we being guided by another light in our life? Guided to another place? Guided away from where God would lead us? If so, let us turn to that star. Let us go to visit the King. O come, Emmanuel, God with us. Let us live in the light. Let us brush off our excuses, our fears of discomfort, our inability to change the ways that we are walking away from God's light, and turn towards God's light. Receive that blessing in the freedom and grace of God, in the freedom of saying, oh God, I am sorry for the ways I have strayed from you. Welcome me back to your fold. Oh God, thank you for your patience towards me. I'm sorry for the excuses I've made. I'm sorry for the lies I have told to myself about the things I can or cannot do, about the ways I can or cannot change. Receive me back, O Lord. Let us all return to God in the season of Advent. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.